slaves, there was a group of slaves that didn't know that the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And they kept right on being slaves. And I would like to talk this morning, preach this morning from Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. And we'd like to use the phrase, good tidings unto the meek, which is found in verse 1. Let's read Isaiah 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, for planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This is an inspirational passage of Scripture to me, that we come to communion and we often preach from the Gospels, but I think that it's good to take a big picture look at the Gospel this morning. Isaiah preached this 700 years before Jesus came. Isn't that astounding in itself, that a man knew what was going on 700 years before Jesus entered the earth? 700 years. And it's right down to, it's so true. Let's turn over to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4, in verse, I believe it's 18. Here it is again, and this is Jesus starting his ministry in the hometown of Nazareth. He said, this is what it's all about. This is what my ministry is all about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus started his ministry with his very, almost the same words as Isaiah said back. It's a little different, but it's almost the same. And so it's important. It's what Jesus was all about. And I want to declare unto you good tidings. Good tidings. You know, in the old days, before we had electronic communication, people would ride around and they'd go down here in the Northeast and say, hey, the Civil War is over with. There's the Emancipation Proclamation, and they would ride in there on a horse and they would announce this, and everybody was happy. And this morning, I want everybody to be happy about the salvation that's found in Jesus Christ, that what he has done for us. We are living in the midst of a pandemic, the COVID pandemic, and there's 5 million people died from this pandemic already. 5 million. It's not not a high percentage of the population of the earth. Population of the earth is 7.5 billion. I'm not sure how that works out for us percentage wise, but we think we got a mess. Well, here we have a bigger solution. You know, what would it be like if somebody would announce this afternoon that the pandemic is over with? There's nobody going to get COVID anymore. And we'd think that'd be a wonderful thing. Of course we would. But so I declare unto you good tidings. But it's conditional. It's unto the meek. It's unto the meek. You have to be broken to experience this goodness, the good tidings of the gospel. First of all, this message, I would like to look at a captive of sin. I don't know what would be more... Okay, in the last couple weeks here, there was a great, you know, there was a trial that Kyle Rittenhouse was being tried for shooting some people. And I believe it was on Friday, he was totally acquitted. It was totally just, and he went from being a captive, being in prison, he walked right out the door, got in his car, and he went home. Would that be good tidings or not? Of course it would be. It'd be good tidings unto the meek. Well, this morning, I'm not sure where he's at in his spiritual experience, but nevertheless, he was a captive and he was freed. And we too were captives. We're in bondage, we're in shackles, we're in handcuffs, and this morning we have good tidings. You're free. You're free. I want to look at captives of sin. I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. To look at this. Well, we're captives of sin because it's our own iniquities that makes the problem. That gets us arrested. You know, we're arrested when we're captives. We are arrested by some authority, and we have been arrested by our own iniquity. In Proverbs 5:22, it says, "His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins." How many of you remember that? That you were in this holden with the cords of your own sins? I do. I knew. I couldn't, you know, I was controlled by my sin. One day, I heard good tidings. I was released from the cords that bound me in sin. Indeed, good tidings. So many of us think that we can break free from sin at any time. That we can just say, "Oh, yeah, I won't sin anymore." I'm living proof that that doesn't work. It was only until I understood Romans 8:13, the great principle there, that if ye mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Then I was free. Then I was free. Believe in Jesus. We are shackled and handcuffed to our sin habits. We are no longer in control of our own will and captive of the devil's will. Oh, as I was preparing for this message, I was gripped by that fact. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 2:26. 2 Timothy 2:26, the Apostle Paul writing here. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him. Whose will? Whose will does it say? At his will. The devil is manipulating you. He's turning you. He's making you do what you do. That's sin. We're captives to the devil, and he tells us what to do. But dear ones, there's good tidings. We can break that captivity to the devil. Let's turn over to Romans 5 and verse 12. We get an impression, we get knowledge of how penetrating and how complete this sin problem is. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, Adam, and death by sin the penalty. And so death passed upon how many? All men. Joe Weaver, Stan Martin, and Jeff Ball included. All men. For that all have sinned. Every one of us in this room are bound by the cords of our own sin and are taken captive, have been taken captive by the devil. Admit it. Admit our plight. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. We are in legal condemnation. Legal condemnation. I know what it's like to be in legal condemnation. I was sued a couple times in my life, and I remember one time that Elaine got the summons, and she came down across the yard. I was out working, and she came down across the yard, and she had a distressed look on her face, and it was a registered letter that said we were being sued for a big sum of money. We were under condemnation. Dear ones, you're under legal condemnation because you and I have violated the law of God, the law of sin and death. We are in legal condemnation before the God of heaven, the court of holiness. But dear ones, there's good tidings. There's good tidings. We are in bondage to death. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took a part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's you and me. What happens when we die? That's the question. Where are you going when you die? What is going to happen when you die? We're fearful of death, aren't we? We just are fearful of what's going over there on the other side where we can't see. All their lifetime subject to bondage. Where will you go when you die? My dear people, there's good tidings. You can get that, you can know. We are in bondage, legal condemnation, captivity. We're in bondage to death. And there could be many more, but the last one I'll use here in captivity, we are without hope. We are without hope. Apostle Paul says, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, that's you and that's me. But brethren and sisters, we have good tidings. No hope. Oh, that's that fundamental human condition that we all have. You know what hope is? I remember when we were young and we were baling hay and there was hard work and we worked hard all day. And my dad said, if you get this done today, we're taking you to the Dairy Queen. And you talk about or going swimming. It gave us hope that this day would eventually be over with and the work would be done. Hope is a fundamental human condition that helps people make it through life. Do you have hope today? The question is, do you have hope? There's good tidings. We can have hope. I would like to look at now the proclamation of liberty. Redemption through the blood of the Lamb. The prison doors can be opened because there's good tidings. Can you imagine yourself sitting in prison and wishing you were out? And then somebody comes to the door and you hear the key go into the door. And it turns the lock in there. And the warden looks down at you and says, you're free. You're free. That's what redemption is, my dear people. You're free. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Jesus, through dying, met the legal demands of opening our prison door. Dear ones, there's good tidings. Let's turn to Romans 3. Romans 3 and verse 21 through 27. But now the righteousness of God without the law, the old law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto how many? Unto all, like Stan said last night, all. Joe Weaver included? Yeah. Oh. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that of them that believe, for there is no difference, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What a passage of scripture that we all can receive this redemption. Oh, there's good tidings. There's good tidings. There's good tidings, dear ones. The problem with all our sins is equaled to the all can have redemption. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the death and the suffering of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's so many places we could go in the scripture. But there's such a stunning parallel. My father-in-law, Harry, always or many times preached from Exodus 11 and 12 about the Passover, you know the story. How that the children of Israel were in hard bondage. They were in hard bondage, and their lives were bitter with hard bondage. And it came to, they were sighing, oh, we're in bondage. By reason of the bondage, they sighed. And Moses, through God, heard that. He said, God said, go to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him that. I'm not sure which one was even the first. The plague of darkness, maybe. And then it was the plague of lice. Ugh. Could you imagine living in Egypt when there's lice? And they go all over the place, and flies and frogs. And finally God said, I'll fix him. I'll get Pharaoh to agree. Tell you what's going to happen. All the firstborn's going to die. The firstborn of all the land of Egypt. The firstborn of Pharaoh. The firstborn of the maidservant. The firstborn of the beasts. Everything's going to die. And then, you know, the scripture is so meaningful. In verse 6 of Exodus 11, it says, there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt. Can you imagine that cry? Just think about it. Your oldest child, dead. Your cows, dead. A lot of them. The maidservant's child was dead. And people saw what was happening and they wailed, oh, this is awful. Can you imagine that night in Egypt? I can't imagine that. How terrible that would be. But they went. Moses said, you go to the children of Israel, and you take a lamb without blemish, take it into your house for 4 days, let your children get really friendly with this lamb, take it in there for 4 days, and then in the evening of the 14th, or the fourth day, you take a knife and cut its neck. And so that's what happened. Took a knife and cut the neck of that unblemished lamb. And everyone, they took that blood, everyone applied it over the doorposts. Dad, I think, would take a brush and paint it. I think he didn't just put a little spot on there, but he painted over the doorposts. He painted it completely. And when that death angel came to those houses, the miraculous thing happened. He passed over. He passed over. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That's the good tidings of Scripture, folks. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. What a wonderful proclamation that is. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Throughout Israel's history, from that point until Jesus came, there was a feast called the Passover. Every year, there was Passover. They would remember this night in Egypt when they, the firstborn of Israel, were saved and the firstborn of Egypt died. Isn't it interesting? Isn't it profound? That when Jesus was at the Last Supper, it was at the Feast of the Passover. Feast of the Passover. Dear ones, he will pass over you. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us, Apostle Paul said. I would like to look thirdly and finally at the open prison door. The prison door will open to you who are meek. And the promise of Jesus himself said, that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What a proclamation. What good tidings is that? And he is going to open the prison to them that are bound. We are so tired of the captivity of sin. The open prison door. What does God do with our sins when he takes it away? Well, number one, he forgives them. He forgives them on the basis of the blood of Jesus. He will pass over you. He removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're gone. East and west never come together. They're gone. He washes away our sins. He remembers our sins no more. They're gone. He casts them into the depth of the sea. He ties a stone around them and throws them out in the depths of the sea, and they're gone. He blots out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, that was contrary to us, and took them to the cross and nailed them there. Now, dear people, we are free from legal condemnation. More than that, we are free from a mind that is controlled by the flesh. We are free from the law of sin and death. We are beauty. We are beauty for ashes. We are beauty for ashes. We wear the garments of praise, according to Isaiah 61. We declare the good tidings. As a brotherhood, we bind up the brokenhearted. And as individuals, and dear ones, we are busy proclaiming liberty to the captives. How about it, dear ones? Have you talked to your neighbor lately? Before they die? Before they're murdered? Talk to your neighbor. It's urgent. Found that out this week. Next door neighbor was murdered. I should have talked to him. I should have. The song says, "Must I go in empty-handed?" How about it? Are you proclaiming liberty to your neighbors? Are you declaring that there's good tidings? There's an open prison door? It's because of Jesus that gives us hope. The eternal plan of God that took place before the foundation of the world, this blood was shed, and he died for us on Calvary. We were rightfully condemned to die, but he died for us. That's the good tidings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's good tidings. Let's go from this place and say, let's declare the good tidings of Jesus. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. I'm glad to have been a participant and have heard the good tidings of Jesus. How about you?